Dear Heavenly Father, we're now approaching the Word of God. And Father, I ask that you guide my lips and my understanding that you've imparted to me to help your people, to give them a firm foundation for which they can stand upon. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, did I say chapter 1? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let's go to verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellency of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, before we go a little further here in this chapter, chapter 2, I'm not really up on church history like Rick Renner, Tony Cook, all of them, because whenever I got into it, I got too confused because of all the differences of opinions of who did what at what time and where at. They seem to have any dates within 10, 15, 20 years or whatever. And so you can never pinpoint who's right from who's wrong. And so I left it up to those who have a passion for that thing, like Rick Renner, Tony Cook and them. But in what I do understand very clearly is that there was a time period when the church began, and then it went into what we call the Dark Ages. And they say the Dark Ages is some 400 years, somewhere around there. 1,000 years. Dark Ages, 1,000 years. Well, I didn't know it was that long. But anyway, and then it came out of the Dark Ages, and what would you call it going into? The Lighter Ages? Well, up until about, and John, you're going to have to help me on this. It seems like the church, about in the early 1900s, up till about the 1940s and 50s, there seems to be a move of God in His power, healing power. And so, you know, your healing evangelists begin to rise up. And of course, people would flock to the tents and wherever there was what they called revival and had people prayed for and massive miracles. Matter of fact, I have some DVDs on Jack Coe's ministry, and wow, I was shocked at the miracles that I seen. Even my friend Dave Roberson, when I was with him in Oregon, and that was in the 60s, wasn't it? 70s. It was in the 70s. And I saw not only miracles that was performed at the hands of Dave, but also myself, because that was my passion. My focus was evangelism and seeing people healed and seeing a great move of God in our services and begin to see Him grow and saw wonderful things. I could sit here and tell you miracle after miracle that I not only witnessed, but also saw at the laying on of my own hands and the miracles that took place and the buildings that we packed out. Then about the later 70s into the 80s, you begin to see teaching began to rise up in the church. A lot of teaching. You go to Rhema, and we were craving teaching. And then we saw a move of revelation coming alive. And it was up until about the early 90s, I'd say, to the late 90s, I began to witness within myself a greater understanding of what I had been taught previously. And so I saw kind of an understanding of knowledge really begin to grow in the 90s. And more accurate. The knowledge was more accurate. And then I began to see some changes in the early 2000 up to where I'm at now. I'm experiencing some greater understanding of the truth of God's Word. But there's something that has taken place in me that has not been there before. And that was the understanding of using that heavenly language, praying in other tongues, to draw out the mysteries of God. Matter of fact, the word revelation, a lot of people don't really understand the term of that meaning. The word revelation conveys the meaning of spiritual enlightenment. It conveys the meaning of spiritual illumination. Not, and I want to repeat this, not intellectual findings. So I'll say that again. The term revelation conveys the understanding of illumination, and I call it spiritual illumination. And it does not convey intellectual findings. And I can honestly say, just talking with John, and not that he's a real old guy, but I'm an old guy too, but he's been around a while, wouldn't you say, John? And he made a statement to me one day that he's happier now than he's ever been. Because he says he feels that he has a greater understanding or greater grasp on the Word of God. Wouldn't you say that, John? And a lot of that is due to the fact that John and I had an understanding of praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit. And a lot of people don't realize the value of that language. That language is the very language that you use to speak to God. Mm-hmm. But somehow, the modern church has got the understanding. And it, from what I understand, it came from one man in his prayer closet one day, felt that the Lord told him that tongues were of the devil. And so even to this very day, you'll find that a lot of people will have great harmony, but when it comes to speaking in tongues, there's where the division begins. Almost 100% of the time. And that shows me something. It shows me that those of us that are experiencing what it means to pray out the mysteries of the Word of God, you have to have that as your experience. You have to experience that. So we now have to move through a barrage of misleading doctrine that removes the understanding of that language. We have to move the doctrine out of people's awareness in order to reach them to be a partaker of that language themselves. Are you following what I'm trying to say? Why am I even going there? Well, we're talking about the subject of faith. But I'm beginning to see somebody heard Kenneth Hagin say, have the faith of God. And then they'd mock him and say, he doesn't know what the faith of God is. I want to tell you, people, you cannot have the faith of God, and the Word declares, have the faith of God.
Yes, it does.
And in order for you to have the same kind of faith that is in God, you have to be able to receive that.
Yeah.
Correct? Well, then, the enemy, and I want to tell you something, the enemy is not a dummy when it comes to the existence of humanity. If anybody would like to know his credentials, Satan has been around flesh for what, some 6,000 years? And no telling what that first world was like that he was involved in. And there was flesh in that first world. So I think his credentials would be that we don't know how long he has been accustomed to flesh. But he knows something about it. Especially when he can take a whole planet and reduce it to one man. Down to one man, or the whole planet would be lost. I'd say he knows how to work in the heart of men, wouldn't you? So he is not somebody that you take lightly. But I got news for you. There's somebody we can take heavily. And that's our Heavenly Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan doesn't have the revelation in all that he has gathered that God was here before he was. That means the answer was here before the problem showed up. So I think we're on the good side, don't you? We're on the good side. We were the answer until we discovered the problem. Now, why am I bringing this up? Because as I'm praying in the Spirit and meditating more on God, he's putting it in my heart, a craving, a desire to promote that spiritual language. Now, when I made my mind up about praying in the Spirit, God had designed something for Sue and I that was unique. We ran across Dave Roberson at the same time that Dennis and Rita Bennett were getting masses of people filled with the Holy Ghost. Do you guys remember that time period? And I went to one of his seminars up there in Seattle, and he had every denomination there out of curiosity, and he stood up and he began to talk on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he just captivated me. And then he talked about speaking in tongues. And he says his main message was the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes with speaking in other tongues. If you don't have the tongues, you don't have the baptism. He was powerful in that. And of course, that's what happened. There was a big thrust of people getting baptized in Holy Ghost. And me and Sue and all of us, we did too. We got into that very strongly. And as a result of praying in other tongues, going back to where I'm at, in the 90s, early 90s, on up to the early 2000, I was really practicing praying in other tongues in spite of what people were saying around me. That never moved me, because one guy said something divinely endorsed by God. I knew it was God speaking through this man to me when I went up to him. This was a week before I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. I went up to that hippie on that bench, an uneducated, non-theologian. And we had that Jesus movement at the time. Remember that, John? And all the hippies were getting turned on to God. And I didn't look at myself as a hippie, but Sue says it was. That's when I had hair. You can't call yourself a hippie being bald. You have to have hair. I always wore my hair shoulder length, you know, so fit right in. And I'll never forget walking up to that man on that bench. He was just sitting there. Big move. Everybody praying in the park. And I walked up to him and I said, "My brother told me you speak in tongues." "Yes." "Yeah. What's that like?" He looked at me and he said, "It's a direct line to God." I was mesmerized. And I said, "What do you mean by a direct, like a telephone?" He said, "Yeah. Goes right to God's throne." "Wow, so what do you say to him?" "I have no idea." "Oh, this is my attitude. I want that direct line. I'm having a problem with not understanding what I'm saying, but I want that direct line." Right. See, take one step at a time. Yep. So I said, "I want that direct line." Now, I asked him again, "You don't know what you're saying to God?" "No, but he knows." I went, "Oh, he knows." Yep. "Well, that's better."
Yep.
Even though I don't know what I'm saying, God knows what I'm saying. Yep. And so I walked away from there and I said, "I got to have it." I made a decision. I got to have that speaking in tongues. And so I went to ask certain people that, you see, Sue and I were not raised in church, so we didn't understand denominationalism. We didn't understand that there was one group of believers against another group of believers. We didn't understand that. And so I had to ask somebody that, little did I know, hated tongues. They were of the devil. And I asked him, I says, "Do you know anything about speaking in tongues?" "What? You better stay away from that. You know how confusing, when you're young in the Lord, you know how confusing that is?" "You don't? It's very confusing." "Well, maybe you wouldn't because you received it, but I meant, we don't understand that because we believe in speaking in tongues." Amen. But, over the years I've experienced drawing out enlightenment from the Word of God. And the problem that I had was I kept trying to pick up a revelation from the Word of God with my natural mind, really not separating the understanding of it from that which is spiritual. Do you know how hard that is? That's very difficult at first. But really, as you begin to rely more on it, then you begin to separate your natural thinking from that which is spiritual. You begin to be able to filter it a little more. Just recently, the biggest challenge I had was studying the book of Revelations, because it's all full of symbolism. And you know me in the Old Testament, we don't get along too well. Because there's a lot in there I just don't understand, but I understand the new. And so I decided I'm just going to keep praying in the Spirit and let God continue to illuminate the New Testament for me. And then I'll deal with the things that are future as they come my way. And so finally, one day I was tackling the book of Revelations, and it dawned on me that I had other people giving me information, and my mind would just get scrambled. And I couldn't understand what they were saying as they were trying to explain to me where they were coming from. Finally, I went to the Lord and I said, "Lord, why is that? Why?" He says, "I don't want you to listen to anyone right now because you've entered into an area where you're learning how to separate what is the mind of the flesh from the mind of the Spirit, so that you understand what I'm saying." Now we're going to talk about faith. And I'm going to tell you what, faith does not operate out of your natural man. It operates out of your spiritual being. And so I'm sitting there and I'm saying, well, Lord, I don't understand these symbolisms and everything. He says, but I do. And he says, you just keep praying in the Spirit. And he says, I'm going to take you the way that you're now equipping yourself. He said, not that the others didn't have an understanding of what they were saying, but he says, you are moved into a different time period that never existed before concerning praying in other tongues. So what are you saying, Lord? He's saying to me, from the early 80s up until 2016, he said, you've grown into the understanding of how to use the Holy Spirit to draw out the mysteries of the kingdom of God. That is why future, the book you're looking at, future tense, Revelation, he says that could not be disclosed or understood because it involves so much of the Old Testament with the New.
Yeah.
And he says you didn't have much understanding of the Old. You've gained greater insight to the New. You know how the New Testament will fit into that, which is future. But you don't have a lot of the symbolisms that come out of the Old Testament. He says, but what qualifies you now to be able to break the mystery of the book is that you know how to use praying in other tongues. And he says, most of my leaders, when they tried to break future, the book Revelation Future, they didn't apply the same principles you're applying. And he says, that's why it's going to have a different sight, insight, than what it previously had, because it was mostly drawn out of the intellect. Got it, Lord. Got it. Got it, Lord. Got it. And he says, I will lead you to certain men that have good insight, but you can break even the most difficult verses by the Holy Spirit assisting you. And finally, I found a man. And I decided not to even bring his name up or mention him because I've been so disappointed in the past drawing every kind of teacher I could on the book of Revelations that have not been fulfilled. God led me to this man supernaturally in Sri Lanka.
Oh, bless your heart.
You know, I've given you some other books on Revelation. Yeah, you got to listen. She handed me that book, and I read the first book. And after reading the first book, I went back to her. Got to have that second book. And God spoke to me to get that book from her. And she finally gave it to me, so I got both volumes. I started going through that, and oh, it so helped me. But there's areas there that I saw that he didn't have the revelation of it, but the Holy Ghost is starting to fill him in. And as I'm seeing this more and more clearer, I finally told the Lord, Lord, I'm talking about faith here. And here I'm over in this book. He says, the reason I permitted you to do that is because now you have within you the ability to pray out those mysteries. But he says it has very much to do with your present faith. I said, okay. So go to Hebrews chapter 11. Notice what we read in 1 Corinthians 2. My speech and my preaching was not with persuasive words of wisdom. Persuasive words of wisdom. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And notice it said demonstration of the Spirit and power. And of power. When it said and of power, he was using the word demonstration separate from the word power. And so when I looked up the meaning of the word demonstration, I was shocked. He said, my speech and my preaching was not with persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit. And I always connected demonstration and the word power together as performing miracles. And that is not what 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is all about. It's all about how there was a demonstration of the Spirit that would release the power of God. Dunamis, achieving ability. And I looked up the word demonstration, and you know what that word is? I'm not going to give you the Greek word. It means a lifting of the veil.
Yeah.
It means a lifting of the veil. And you know where the veil is? Some fleshly, carnal mind. And so if you want the power of God to flow through you, you cannot allow your natural thinking to limit you.
Right.
Now, one of the things I've been seeking God is that there's been an indictment against faith when people have used natural means and say they're still in faith. Well, I'm not in faith if I'm relying on doctors. Well, really? Then why are you going to the doctor? How many of you like doctors? I know they've been accused of lying. Well, they might be doctors that lie in their personal life, but when it comes to your health, I think they tell you the truth. Because all they deal with is the senses. But faith really is a lifting of the veil over your spiritual mind to release the power of God in your life.
Amen.
It's the same process that God uses to remove a veil over Scripture that you don't understand.
Yeah.
It's the demonstration of that. Epoxidesis means literally a lifting of the veil. You're not limited any longer by your natural mind.
Amen.
But what about using your natural mind with your spiritual mind, and there's a side of you that says, I believe God, but there's a side of you that does not trust God. Then what does that do to your faith? Nothing. The problem is, how many of you know there's a natural side to our walk? How many can say that? And there's a spiritual side to your walk. Does that mean God can't use the one but just the other? Did you know that if it wasn't for your natural mind, you wouldn't even have a beginning for milk before you go on into the deeper revelation of God? Did you know that? Did you know that you have to have some part of your mind functioning before your spiritual mind is discovered? Hello? How did you exist when you walked in your natural thinking without spiritual insight? You did all right. You're here. Amen? This story came to me this morning, and the Lord said, I want you to read it to my people. So if you will, turn over to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Start with verse 1. I want to show you something that is powerful. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. How come the men always croak and the women stay alive? And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the Creator is coming to take away my two sons to be slaves. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels. Go borrow? Go borrow? Go borrow vessels from everywhere? From all your neighbors? Empty vessels? Do not gather just a few. You know what God has in mind? She had very little. But listen, God is very big talking to her. And so he says, if you're going to borrow vessels, borrow a lot of them.
Yeah.
Just borrow one. Borrow a lot of them. Now watch this. And when you come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now, came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. Now I'm going to tell you something. Was she a woman of faith? How many times God has told you something? I'm indicting every one of you here. Are you preaching to me? Yes, I am. How many of you, God told you to do something and you went, eek! And you didn't do it. First of all, you might have had neighbors that are not willing to lend you a vessel. Go find a neighbor that will. And notice he used natural means. Amen? And then after you use natural means, go back to God like she did, and God says, now, with what I've shown you to do, do that. And that you will be blessed by. You know what that means? It means your faith can use natural things as well.
Amen.
It just has to be the Spirit leading you to do something, and it's okay. And even if it's natural me, somebody came to me and said, the Lord spoke to me to go to the doctor. I've had people come to me and say, the Lord told me not to go to a doctor. And it frightened me because the person that was saying it needed a doctor. But how many of you know that if you're going to exercise your faith in getting a healing, let's say, a healing to your body. There's nothing wrong with going to the doctor and he giving you information of how to carry yourself in that illness. Are you following me? But really, you should put as much trust in the promises of healing that belongs to you as you do the information the doctors give you. Hello? You should do what the doctors say, but on the other hand, your trust should be at the same time looking at the promises of God.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you'll find that the two will work quite well in the hands of the Lord. Because
yeah.
The love of God is to get you healed.
Yeah.
Did you know the love of God is to get people saved? The love of God is not to show you why you should die. The love of God is not, I was looking to get them out of the church. So your faith can rely on natural means as well as spiritual means, but it takes a spiritual person to ignite your faith in Him. Now, I ran out of time, but I wanted to say some things that's going to help us understand a little bit about faith. Number one, mustard seed faith gets nowhere. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, it talks about faith as a grain of mustard seed. It's the smallest seed in the whole earth, but it grows. And then the mountains moved. There's one word that's not put in that verse. It's the word grows. It's assumed in the verse, but the word grows is not in that verse. But if you look at the other verses in the New Testament, such as Luke 13, Mark 4, Matthew 13, Matthew 6, Matthew 8, Matthew 14 again, you'll find the same scriptures mentioned, but there's a word put in every one of them except Matthew 17, 20. And that's the word grow, grows. It groweth, grows up. In all the other verses. So I think what happened is somebody read Matthew 17, 20, and because the word grows there is not there, they assumed that the mustard seed could move the mountain. They assumed that, and so somebody preached it. Did you know that if you have faith as a mustard seed, you could say to that mountain, be thou removed? The Bible doesn't teach you that. It does not teach that a mustard seed moves any mountain. Matter of fact, if you talk about little faith, matter of fact, in Matthew 17, 20, in the Greek it says, the little faith of you. In Matthew 6, 30, Matthew 8, 26, and Matthew 14, 31, little faith didn't get anything done. Matthew 6, 30, it talked about a fear of God's ability not to produce for you. They were in a storm and they had a fear that what God told them, God would not produce. In Matthew 8:26 and Matthew 14:31, it talks about one who lives on excuses in the midst of the storms of life. They had little faith. The faith messages have gotten a bad name because nobody taught that your faith has to grow. And your faith is not exempt in its growth because you use natural things. Amen. And if God tells you to use the natural until the promises come to pass, there's nothing wrong with that. Don't abandon any form of your belief. You have no need to. You just be obedient to do what you're asked to do in the natural as well as what you're asked to do spiritually. Are you following what I'm saying? And so people, I'm going to tell you something. Don't abandon your faith just because you rely on a natural mean, knowing that your trust can still be in Him. But there are things that you and I have to do with our faith that will assist us even in using natural things. And one of them is your mouth. None of us have a problem there. So with that thought in mind, we're going to stop there. Did you guys get anything today? We're talking about faith and we're going to get back into it. And we're going to learn some things starting with Hebrews chapter 11. I had you guys turn there, but we didn't go there. But we will go there. Praise God. And we'll look at it from the Greek there. Because it says, they had a book by a man about your words have the creative ability to speak planets into existence. And I can't relate to that, especially if I'm believing for a hangnail. But we'll look at those scriptures and see what they're saying. It's very interesting. But faith is an important subject. Very important. Your faith is very important. But you're the one that makes it work. Guess what? The devil doesn't help you. Guess what? A doctor can assist you. Did you know that? Satan ain't gonna. The Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Father, they assist you. The devil don't.
Right.
All he does is condemn.
Yeah.
And the first line that he'll go for to condemn you is when you learn to trust in natural things.
Yeah.
Well, who told you you were trusting in natural things? Who told you? Who told you that?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. It's the enemy. Because you're relying on a natural thing, you're not trusting God. That's a lie. If that's the case, Elijah, the prophet, shouldn't have told that lady to go borrow some vessels. God used natural things. Why? So he could fill them up. It's like money. How many of you know you have to buy for yourself and sell for yourself? Unless you're an idiot that wants somebody else to handle your money all the time. No, you're the one that has to buy and sell. You're the one dealing with the money. What comes, what goes. Amen? Now, that's a natural thing. But it sure helps God leading you in it. And God has told some of you to do some certain things towards the kingdom. You haven't done that. And you want to know why it ain't working. You got to do what God tells you to do. We'll stop there. Father, we thank you for the body of Christ and the blood of our Savior. And Father, communion is such a wonderful, wonderful cooperative effort on all of our part to come to you and bear our heart before you. And Father, we know that if we are truthful with ourselves and truthful for you, then we know that the body will not become divided and the blood will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so this morning, Father, we stand before you in the communion table, to take of the bread and the blood and acknowledge you in remembrance of what you've done so that we're not sentenced with those of the world. For you've called us out of the world and made us stand victorious. The bread. In the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and said, "Eat. Do this in remembrance of me as a body together. Take, eat." The blood represents a cleansing agent. He cleanses through his shed blood for the sake of the body of Christ. So let's take and drink in remembrance of him. Praise the Lord. Pastor, to the center. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for the love that you have for the church and your people. As we get ready to dismiss this service, Father, if there's anyone here that would like prayer for anything, Father, for salvation, for restoration, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Father, whatever it is they have need of, we want to pray with them and for them. Father, if they had to settle some issues in their heart this morning about their faith with you, I pray that that's under the blood for the sake of the body of Christ. And so if you're here, everybody stand up. Hallelujah. If you're here and you would like prayer, hands laid on you. I don't want to Get into a counseling situation. I don't want to get into genealogies of your life. I want to pray for what you have need of. So if you will, just step out and come forward, anybody. Feel free to do that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Anyone else would like to come forward? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anyone else, feel free to come up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know each other?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Anyone else? Feel free. Don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. Now, one thing I did get with the young people, and I think Tammy was saying it, but I was picking it up. Just as she started saying it, I was thinking it, wow. There's a young person in the young people group. You could give it to them. But I saw the enemy speaking into their ear like a megaphone type, but it was like a, where you could poke it in their ear and it's like a horn. And I saw the enemy speaking into them. And he's trying to get them to do something that their conscience is telling them not to do. And not to believe what somebody says about them. And so that's why I asked what the young people were, where they were at. But you can deliver that to them when you can. Would you do that for me, Isabel? Father, I thank you. And may your people be blessed, even in the word connections tonight, Father. We're getting into that new subject of the renewing of the mind. And Father, may they be blessed by it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go home. I want you to go home.